Everybody, it's a great joy to see you here. Welcome at home if you're listening in. It's lovely to have some of our families back in the halls. I know that others are watching at home. It's really good to be all together. Great to hear some of the voices of the kids in the videos and the recordings, speaking from the family side as well. Thank you to all the families who took the time to do those recordings. It isn't always easy to fit in, so we really, really appreciate it. We're going to be reading together this morning some of the very familiar stories, or one of the very familiar stories from the birth of Jesus. We're going to read from the appearance of the angels to the shepherds. Now, I know that for every single one of us, however old we are, this is going to be a really well-known story. And it'd be easy sometimes, I think, just to log it as one of those things that you read about in an Advent calendar or to not really dwell on. But I've been refreshed and encouraged myself as I've been meditating on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And I hope and pray that there is real encouragement for us now as with God's help by his Spirit, he takes his word and speaks to us and reminds us of just the amazing news the birth of Jesus is. So I'm going to pray and ask for God's help. Why don't we all pray together? And then we'll read from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 down to verse 14. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning, especially this morning, Lord, at the end of a challenging year, in the wake of 24 hours that would have brought some real disappointment and grief to many. We thank you that we can come to you now as the God who is good, the God who is eternal, the God who is mighty, the God who speaks to us, and the God who is our Father. We pray, therefore, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you would show us again your Son, Jesus Christ. As we listen in to the announcement of the angels all those years ago, we pray that in our hearts you would give us joy, that we would know the good news that they proclaim all about Jesus, and would we love and trust him right now, even today, for we ask it in his name. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is God's word. Now, I want to take us back in time for our opening, because there's a famous poem that went into a carol, especially famous in America, that came from these verses, written by the wonderfully named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Now, more even impressive than the name is what we could call the mane. I mean, look at his hair and beard. It's magnificent. I like to think this is what Matt's aiming for, although the top part might be a bit more of a challenge for Matt, to be fair, as well as myself, it must be said. Look at how he reflected on the words of the angels. He wrote on Christmas Day, 1863, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But as you can see from the slide, those weren't the only words he wrote. Now you see, Christmas 1863 in America was a really bad Christmas. It was a really dark year. The American Civil War was raging. And actually, for Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, it had brought very bad news. He just heard that his son, who had gone away to war without permission from his father, had just been seriously wounded. So what does Christmas feel like in a bad year when you're feeling bad yourself? Well, he wrote there in that verse, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Now, guys, if you're listening to this as one of our kids, you may well wonder, how on earth could anyone be sad and in despair on Christmas Day? Others, though, may be listening and thinking, actually, you know, I can imagine how that feels. We could look at a year with lots of division, quite a lot of hate flowing around, and just echo Longfellow's words. We could insert, instead of hate being strong, COVID feeling strong, and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. There are lots of reasons for any of us listening that we may actually struggle sometimes with Christmas. But it's into such a year, into such a darkness, as John was talking about earlier, that the good news of Jesus comes. Here's the big prayer for today as we just think for a few minutes about these verses. It is that we would know the good news of great joy that is the birth of Jesus. It was good news for the shepherds in the middle of the night back then. It was good news for Henry Longfellow and America in 1863. It's really good news for us today. All right, and that's the first thing we're going to think about. It is the best of news. Now, those of you who are familiar with our All Age Carol services or Christmas days, you may well be wondering, well, okay, when are we going to get up and run around? When is there going to be envelopes under the chair? Sadly, we can't do those things this year, all right? But there is going to be a bit of a quiz later. So as a trailer, especially to the young ones among us, but actually for anybody, you need to just loosen off your shoulders, all right? There's going to be a bit of speed required in terms of getting your arm up. Oh, we'll just pause for a moment. You're right. Great. So just a little mishap for those who are watching at home. She's all right though. Loosen off your shoulders because there'll be a little bit of a quiz later on. But I want you to picture the scene. Hands up if you reckon you've got a good imagination. Here we are. We can loosen off the shoulders. Phil's arm was straight up. All right. Okay. Good imagination. You need to picture the scene. All right. You're in the middle of the Judean countryside in the middle of the night. Chris was stretching both shoulders at the back there. That's interesting. Looking forward to the back corner. All right, it's freezing cold wherever you are in the middle of the night when you're in the desert. And you've had a hard day's shepherding? I'm not entirely sure what the verb would be. All right, but anyway, you're tired. You're with your friends. The sheep are around you for warmth. The fire is crackling. Maybe you're swapping some stories when suddenly, bang, there is this blazing light that appears, and an angel is standing there. It's like nothing you've ever seen. You spend all your day with sheep and shepherds. You've never come across an angel. And just as well, the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Do not be afraid, fear not." Now, what the shepherds don't know is actually, thus far, angels have been appearing in a few places around the country. Because Luke's first chapter, the start of the gospel, tells us that God is doing something amazing. His messengers have been busy announcing that he is about to do something wonderful and new. And in verse 10, the angel says to the shepherds why they shouldn't be afraid. He doesn't say, "I come in peace," like a kind of alien from a film. He actually explains that they shouldn't be afraid because he is just the messenger of good news. And there are three phrases he uses. You probably noticed that when I read. Good news first. Now, what is the best news that you can think of? Have a little think right now. Okay? What is the best news you could imagine to see on a headline? Someone may think it's free sweets for everyone. Not stereotyping. There might be somebody. There's certainly a lot of chocolate washing around our house at the moment. One that would be topical for the Sneddons, that all children must go to bed later than their parents. That would be potentially quite popular, I reckon. No jackets needed, even when cold and raining. Personal one for me, Scotland win the Rugby World Cup. I can dream, I know. All right, there are lots of really good headlines we could imagine. But good news, whatever your good news would be, that's news that you want to shout from the rooftops, that you want to announce to everyone, that you want to tell all and sundry, here is the news. In the old days, all the way back then, it was to do with a victory. Like an army winning a battle, which you then tell to the whole country. And what the angel is saying on that night then, and on Sunday morning, the 20th of December 2020, there is good news to hear, that everyone needs to hear, the best of news. And that's because it is good news that brings great joy. It's good news that brings great joy. The news itself, actually, is joyful. I love that picture of the girl just celebrating there. That's the content and the quality and what this news is about and what God wants it to do, even in our hearts today. However old you are, whatever stage of life you're at, whatever is going on in life at the moment, here is good news of great joy. And the whole opening of Luke's book is about this, what God is doing to break into our history, into our world, and to save us. He's bringing about the rescue that he's promised. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. He's on the side of his people. He's not forgotten about his world. And in fact, he's doing everything so that we might know him. It's good news of great joy. And here's the last little bit at this point, the angel says, it is for all the people. Maybe you noticed that. Here's a little group of shepherds in a little part of the world, almost 2,000 years ago. And the angel says, this is for you, but it's for everyone. You know, on that day, they may have thought, okay, this is just for us, just for the Jewish people. But actually, you may know, Luke wrote two books all about what Jesus has done and is still doing. And he says this news, it starts all the way back then, and then it spreads from Jerusalem out to the countryside around it, out then into a place called Samaria, and then even to the very ends of the earth. I always love thinking of the good news of great joy for all people in Scotland. Because 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire ended roughly where we are now. We sitting here were kind of at the edge of the known world then. And actually, we're a good example of how this is good news of great joy for all the people. Okay, now I promised you a little bit of participation, and here's a quiz. Those of you at home, please do this. I obviously won't know how fast you are, so please forgive me for no prizes or respect coming your way. But I'm going to assume that hands are burning the air back in living rooms around St. Andrews and Scotland. All right, it's a geography quiz, okay, reflecting on where we are all from. What I'm going to do is name a city. And you've got to get your hand up in the air if you know where it's from. And I'm going to ask one person to call it out rather than us all shouting, just to keep the aerosol down, all right? Just to on the safe side. Okay, so here is our first city. Clue, all of these are representing people in our church family or even here in these halls. First city, Dallas. Okay, tell you what the quickest response was. Eli's hand that got above his waist height. All right, now either we don't know where Dallas is or our shoulders need to loosen off. Eli, where's Dallas? It is in Texas. Texas is an independent country or in which country? The United States of America, okay? So there we are. We have America in the halls. Okay, here's another city. Well, it'll be interesting to see where we go with this. The original, Perth. Yes, Rebecca? Scotland, exactly. Gosh, our arms are slow. I didn't think my geography knowledge was that abstract. Okay, here's one that I know everyone will know. All right, now I'm looking for speed here. Okay, London. Harry Purvis. England, exactly. There we are, we've got Paul fist pumping. You see, he can get his arm above his shoulder. We know that can happen. Amsterdam, Rebecca. The Netherlands, okay, and so we could go on. We have Scots, English, American, Dutch, we have Canadians, we have South Africans, we have people from all sorts of nations just in our little church family. It is good news of great joy for all the people. All right, that's what the news of Christmas is about. Now it begs the question, what is such good news? Why does it bring such great joy? Why should you, maybe a 7-year-old, or you a 57-year-old, or me a 36-year-old, whoever you are, why should this be good news for you? Well, that's what we're going to look at in our second point. But just to break the proceedings a bit, found a little video that tells some of the Christmas story in hopefully a fun and fresh way. We're going to watch that, and then part two will follow. Okay, it's rather fun, worth having a watch and maybe even popping on social media so that others can engage with it. It's a wonderful summary. Call his name Jesus, your maker in skin. He's come to save us from sin. And that is the second thing the angels say. That's the real reason this is good news of great joy for all people. Because God, on that night, all those years ago, gave the world the greatest gift. Let's carry on listening to the angel. Let me just read verse 11 and 12 to us again. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news that is to be shouted from the rooftops. It's such big news that not only one angel is enough. As we know, a whole choir of angels appears and announces it and sings the song of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And there are two things in there for us this year that are just glorious, glorious good news. First is that this child has been born to us and he is a savior. Now, if you're a savior, that's your title or the word that describes you, well, then there's one thing you're doing, isn't it? You are going to save. And if you're going to save people, there's got to be something that you are saving them from. Now, our world this year has been on the hunt for a savior of sorts from COVID. We could look for somebody to save us from the things that we find really hard. We could find someone to save us from the things that are bad or make us sad. But actually, we're told throughout the Bible and in Luke's gospel, and actually then by Jesus himself as he grows up, that he has come to save us from our sin, to save us from the way in which we go against God, the way in which we try and take God's crown and put it on our own heads, the many ways in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds that show that actually we're not friends with God, but that we deserve his judgment and his punishment. And again, you know, however old we are, that doesn't change. We could show that sin in the way we speak to our family, the way we think about people, could be about the ways in which we use our words sometimes to damage others rather than build them up. Could just be shown in lots of quiet little ways, whether we make a lot of noise about it or whether we fly under the radar. God says that all of us by nature have gone away from him. And it's why the birth of a savior is amazing news of great joy. Because he has sent his son to die in our place, to live the perfect life we cannot live, and to take away the punishment we deserve for our sin, and to give us his perfect righteousness. You know, hopefully in a few days we'll be giving each other gifts, won't we? We'll have the fun of unwrapping them under the tree, and Lord willing, we'll be able to do that with people that we love. And yet, the most amazing gift given is that God looks at us and calls us his children, his friends, if we trust in his son, the savior. And there's more from what the angels say, because this savior who dies for us is Christ the Lord. Simply, he is the king. He's God's promised ruler. He's the one who was the king when he was born. He's the one who was the king when he died on the cross. He's the one who now rules over everything, sitting at God's right hand. You know, if you could think of sin as us taking the crown for ourselves, well, actually, Jesus is the one who wears the crown. He is the one who is Christ the Lord. So that's the good news of great joy for all people, that God's king has come, that his kingdom is now open, that he is the savior from sin, and that you today, that I today, that our world today can know the great joy that he brings through trusting in him. It's why the angels end with that chorus of glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. You know, that peace is for everyone who believes, for the shepherds that night, for you today, for anyone who hears the message of Jesus and trusts in him. You remember we started with Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I'm hoping that he and his beard might appear again. Yes, there he is. Look at how the poem finishes. See, he's a man who did understand the good news of Christmas. Remember, he was in despair. There is no peace on earth, he said. Well, look at the last verse. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know, the birth of Jesus all those years ago shows us that God isn't asleep. And if I may, just speaking very personally, maybe to someone today who is really struggling at the moment, after lots of knocks this year, after sadnesses and then news yesterday that maybe has really changed, a little glimmer of hope in this world for seeing people. Let me say to you, God is not dead. He's not asleep. He sent his son for you, just as he sent him for us all. And that if you believe in him, if you're already a believer and you carry on trusting in Jesus, well, there is joy in him. It's not always happiness, but whoever we are today, the birth of Jesus Christ is good news of great joy. It's for all of us. So let's pray that now, this Christmas, and all the days we have, we would go on praising him, following him, loving him. Should we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you that this Christmas, whoever we are, we can know the peace that he offers. Thank you that as we trust in Jesus, as we follow him, as we serve him, as we declare that we're with the shepherds, we thank you that the song of the angels can be our song, that Jesus is our Savior, our Lord. And we pray that we would know him, love him, and enjoy him. Father, please guard and keep us this Christmas time. We do pray especially for our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters in Jesus who are finding things very difficult at the moment. Help us as a church family to be kind and gracious and loving one to another. Pray that we would be swift this Christmas to remind each other of the good news of great joy that is found only in Jesus your Son. And we ask, Father, that others would come to know him too. Maybe think of people right now whom we love, who do not yet know Jesus. Would they hear the voice of the angels? Would they respond to your promise of salvation in Jesus Christ? So be with us, we pray, Father, in the name of Christ, our Savior and our Lord. For we ask it not for our sake, but for yours ultimately, the one to whom all glory belongs. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.